Well, this meeting of the House Resources Committee will now come to order. It is now 1:06 p.m., Friday, February 20, 2026, in Capitol Room 124. Members present are Representative Colomb, Representative Hall, Representative Mears, and myself, Co-Chair Representative Freer. Let the record reflect that we do not currently have a quorum. However, we may establish one later, and we are here to meet and hear from or do the confirmation hearings for the Big Game Commercial Services Board. So please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. I'd like to thank Cheryl Cole from Records and Renzo Moises from the Juneau LIO for staffing the committee today. Today in House Resources, we're hearing from the governor's appointees to the Big Game Commercial Services Board. The Big Game Commercial Services Board consists of 9 members. 8 are appointed by the governor. 2 members are licensed registered guide outfitters. 2 members are licensed transporters. 2 members represent private land holders affected by guided hunting or transportation activities and services who do not hold a license under this board. Additionally, there are 2 public members. 1 member of the Board of Game who does not hold a guide or transport license is chosen by the Board of Game to serve on the Big Game Commercial Services Board. Let the record reflect, we are joined by Representative Sadler at 1:07 p.m. First up, we have online Brianna Hotch of North Pole. Ms. Hotch was appointed by Governor Dunleavy on August 25th, 2025, and her term on the board expires in March 2028. Ms. Hotch, please put yourself on record and begin your statement.
Hello. Thanks for having me here today. My name is Brianna Houck. I was recommended for the private landholder seat on the Big Game Commercial Services Board. A little bit about myself. I'm originally from a small town farm in Wisconsin. I graduated from the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh with a degree in environmental science and geography. I then pursued a master's degree at Minnesota State University Mankato, where I got my master's in geography focusing on soil geomorphology. Upon finishing my master's degree, I took a few seasonal jobs in Alaska through the National Ecological Observatory Network, or it's known as NEON. Here, I was able to learn hands-on about Alaska's unique ecosystems and its ecological patterns and responses to certain threats such as climate change and other various human interventions. I fell in love with Alaska because how could you not, working in the field, admiring the landscape, and decided to move here full-time. In 2022, I started my career where I currently work at Doyon Unlimited as a lands and natural resource specialist. In this role, I help manage Doyon Lands, which is roughly 12.5 million acres throughout interior Alaska, focusing on trespass mitigation, land use permitting, and overall land health sustainability, among a variety of other things. Through this role, I often interact with hunters, guides, transporters. These are all in various situations, whether it's trespass mitigation, land use permitting, or general land boundary questions that would arise. With my background, current work position, and being a hunter myself, I kind of understand the importance of this board and what it's here to do, and I'm excited to be a part of it, help keep Alaska lands, wildlife, protected and used sustainably for future generations, as well as representing that voice of private landowners throughout the state. I guess if you guys have any questions, I'm here. Feel free to ask.
Thank you, Ms. Houck. I apologize for mispronouncing your last name. Are there any questions from committee members? Representative Mears?
Thank you, through the chair, to Ms. Houck. It looks like you're pretty new to Alaska. What caught your interest for serving on this board?
It was kind of presented to me through the work that I currently do with Doyon Unlimited. Again, I said my primary roles is trespass mitigation and land use permitting, and so I've encountered a lot of guiding situations, permitted, not permitted. I've had a lot of guides and hunters and just general public reach out to me, ask questions about land use boundaries, what's public land, what's private land, stuff like that. And I realized that a lot of these questions are coming from guides, which is a little concerning. We've also had a few interactions with a few guys, you know, rotten eggs that just kind of tainted for the bunch. And I caught the attention of this board, and I just kind of wanted to step on and try my best to represent private landowners and where we stand on things, whether it is permitting or not permitting guys.
Follow up, Representative Mears?
Thank you through the chair. So you got appointed in August. How many meetings have you gone to, and what's your experience with the board so far?
Actually, I probably got one of the best introductions to this board. I believe I have attended, maybe four or five meetings so far. And part of these meetings was going over AO360. So we actually sat and combed through every single rule and regulation that this board has in place. So this was quite the introduction. It really got me in-depth knowledge about every regulation that this board has in place and how we can cut down to kind of fit that order and help the general public. So really got some good in-depth knowledge there.
Thank you. Also, I just want to let the record reflect that we are joined by Representative Prox at 109. Representative Sadler?
Thank you. Ms. Hoke? Your employment with the Native Corporation with Doyen and your work in trespass mitigation, clearly you're going to be aware of the issues that arise in big game services. I'm concerned, though, that sometimes there are differences of opinion on issues where your employer, Doyen, might have a position or an interest that isn't contrary to the public interest. Notwithstanding that the seats you are on and are seeking reappointment is the private landholders, what will you do in a situation where your employer's interests are in contradiction to the public interests, understanding each side has its own opinion?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I got this role to be unbiased, to represent the general public interest, not just my employer's interest. While I got introduced to it through my employer, it was me who took the steps and reached out and wanted to be a part of this, not for my job, but because of the knowledge that I have from my job. I also, I own a house here in Alaska, and while it's not a lot of hunting land, I am very familiar with a lot of private land that I own in Wisconsin. And while it doesn't exactly translate, I have my own opinions that do differ from the corporation that I work for. But again, my role is to be unbiased and represent the public, and that's something that's definitely at the forefront of my mind. Being a hunter myself, you know, I don't want to see things all closed up or one way or the other either.
Follow up, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Ms. Hoke. So, again, the question was asked, you're fairly new to Alaska, you own a home here. Do you own a residence in Wisconsin as well, farmland, investment land? I just want to make sure that you're a fully qualified Alaska resident and there's no allegiance to another state at this point. It's important that people on our boards represent Alaska's interest as residents.
Yeah, sorry, I misspoke on that. My family owns a farm that I grew up on in Alaska. My primary residence and only residence that I own is in Alaska. And yes, again, I am fairly new to Alaska, but I see so much beauty here and so much potential. I just want to be able to use it sustainably, which is for future generations and still usable. I enjoy recreating. I've explored all over the state through my job and personal time, so I'm very well acquainted with the state and all of its ecological processes as well.
Very good. And a correction for the record, if I may miss, you said your family owns a farm in Alaska. I believe you meant owns a farm in Wisconsin. Just clarify.
Oh, my bad.
I just wanted to confuse you. And if I may follow up a little bit.
Yeah, no,
thank you. Follow up, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Hoke, you described your affection for Alaska and the desire to explore and so forth, and I missed it. Do you hunt? Have you ever employed the services of a big game guide?
I have never personally myself employed the services of a big game guide, no. This is something that maybe you want to venture down in the future, but no, I have not myself.
And I'm sorry, the second part of my question, and are you a hunter? Do you have a hunting license? Do you hunt in Alaska?
I have hunted small game, but no big game in Alaska. Again, since I'm still fairly new here, I just haven't had the chance to get out yet. But no, I have not in Alaska.
So you got a hunting license. Yeah, good. Okay, thank you, Mitchell.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Okay. Seeing no further questions from the committee, we will now set this appointment aside and have public testimony at a later date. Next, I believe we have on the phone Larry Cunder of Anchorage. Mr. Cunder is currently serving his first term on the Big Game Commercial Services Board. His term expires on March 1 of this year, and Governor Dunleavy has reappointed him for another term, expiring in March of 2030. Mr. Cunder, please put yourself on record and begin your statement.
Hi, my name is Larry Cunder. I've been a resident of Alaska. I moved to Alaska in 2005 from Georgia, where I left a career as a firefighter, EMP, and owned my own electrical business. After visiting and seeing the beauty of Alaska as an offer, fell in love with it, decided that's the place I needed to reside. I recently sold my home in Anchorage, purchased property in Anchor Point, decided to live more rural. I have been blessed to serve on the board. Also been blessed to work in Anchorage and other parts of the state and for various areas, seeing the ecosystem thrive. And I got asked to be on the board through one of the other board members, and I have found it exhilarating, fun, demanding. My interest, as I told them in the beginning, I'm here for the animals, whether it's a fish, whether it's got fur, whether it flies. There should be number one, which is our resources. I have been blessed to use some of the outfitters we have, not the guides in Alaska, but transporters. I've used guides in other states in the past, and I've been on both sides of the coin. I have been totally worked over by a guide in the past, and I wish I'd have known that state had some type of regulations for it. I was unaware at the time, and it's piqued my interest that somebody can sit in and try to keep things reined in, and I feel that I've done the board some justice. I've asked several of the board members at times how I'm doing, and they seem to think I've done okay. I don't know what else I can tell you about myself, other than I just became a grandfather again 2 days ago, so that's my proudest thing today.
Thank you, Mr. Cunder, and congratulations on the new addition to your family. Do we have a question from Representative Sadler, then Representative Colomb?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your willingness to step up. Yeah, grandkids are great. What do you, as you look forward, what do you see the issues that this board is going to be facing in the next couple years of your term? Or half a year of your term.
Well, I think the biggest thing we've been facing is regulations. We're coming across outdated regulations that we the board have actually taken on to try to change and update to fit today's, the way things move today. And I think that's the biggest thing, is us just making sure we don't make a mistake as a board and take something out of our regulations that does us damage, or put something in that does animals damage. And the board has been very due diligent in regarding to that aspect. We don't always sit and get along. We don't always have the same ideas. And I think that's what makes the board strong. And I think that with the new regulations coming through, with the times that we live in and the resources that are there, I think the board's going to go a long way, and we're going to do a good job.
Thank you, Representative Klump.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Cunder. So Rep. Sadler took one of my questions, but I just want to clarify, are you going for, I think I heard that you are currently in the public seat, and are you going for the same seat? It's a public seat on the board?
Through the Chair, yes. I plan on going back to the public seat as I am.
Follow up. And is there anything, what role do you think the public seat has on the board?
Through the board, that question I've actually asked former, the last two presidents of the board, or chair of the board, that same question. And it is a duty of us to try to make sure checks and balances. We don't always see the same way a guide sees it, a transporter sees it, but we know how we see it on the public side. And if we raise questions that might not be seen through their eyes, because they have their jobs, mm-hmm. and they've been in their areas for so long, that you raise a question in a different way, it brings up a whole new topic and a means of discussion. And I've done that several times, and I've been told by Mr. Bunch, he goes, you know, you brought something up that we weren't looking at. And I think that's the key to it. If you don't have diversity in this, if you just appointed all guides, it would go one way. If you pointed just transporters, it'd just go that way. I think the board has been devised properly with the number of seats that it has so that people can raise questions and look at things differently. And that's what this board success will rely on.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Kunder. Please stay on the line. We're just going to take a quick a brief at ease, and then we'll be right back. We are back on record in House Resources. Thank you, Mr. Kunder, for sticking with us. Representative Sadler has some questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize for my confusion. I just got information a little bit late. I don't have a whole bunch of information on your background, Mr. Kunder, except for your application. So give me a little bit more experience, background on your membership and organizations. I don't know sportsman-related organizations you might belong to or participate in, and also your experience as a hunter or user of big game services. Kind of give me a better, fuller view of your history, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the question. So my history with boards I've served on is I've served on Safari Club International in Anchorage, Alaska for a couple of years. I've also served out of state in Georgia when I lived in Georgia for the National Wild Turkey Federation, the National Wild Elk Foundation, Ducks Unlimited, several organizations. I'm always willing to volunteer and do what I can to help out with those organizations and give back. As far as my experience as a hunter, and I've hunted all over the world, and I have used guides from the United States and Africa and New Zealand. I've not used a guide in Alaska. I have used transporters in Alaska multiple times. I enjoy their services. I think it's a benefit for us all. As far as anything else with my hunting, I've been an avid hunter all my life. I'm very passionate about it. But here again, I say it every time, I'm about the animals because I want this to be here tomorrow. So I hope that answered your question. If it didn't, please let me reiterate or give a little bit more if you need it.
No, thank you. That helps through the chair, that Mr. Kunder, that does help flesh out my appreciation of your position. If I may follow up with another question.
Follow up.
There's a bill that is making its way through the legislature, which changes residency for hunting and fishing licenses that parallel your permanent fund dividend residency qualifications. A lot of the attention is focused on fishing, but it also applies to hunting. I don't know, in your service on the board or just as a civilian who cares about hunting, are you familiar with that issue? And if so, have you any position on it?
Unfortunately, I do not know about that. I can't weigh in on it because I haven't read it. I don't know what it is, so I apologize.
That's okay. Fair enough question. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or Representative Mears?
Thank you, through the chair, to Mr. Kunder. I'm sorry if I missed in the intro when you were appointed to the board. If you could let us know when that was and what your experience has been in meetings so far.
Thank you for the question. I don't remember the date. I've been on there for a couple of years now. I apologize. I don't have that date in front of me. My experience has been good. I was very confused with my role in the beginning. It took me a while to get my feet underneath me of what my role would be, but, you know, I learned through the help of the other board members and reading regs, and through that we've been able to catch me up to speed and try to help out as much as possible.
Follow up. Thank you through the chair to Mr. Kunder. So what are some big issues you've tackled in the last couple of years that are memorable to you, and how'd you approach them?
Memorable to me, I think trying to keep our guides and transporters in check. I think that we have statutes on the record to protect people, and some of the greatest things I've seen is those coming to play. We're still working on some of the regs that are going to change the things. I think that's the most important thing to me, where I see the future of regs going for our board. To this date, we haven't been able to get that taken care of through multiple reasons, but we're headed in the right direction. So the most memorable is yet to come. It's in our foreseeable future, though.
Follow up. Thank you through the chair to Mr. Kunder. So I think you're referring to the Administrative Order 360 that is calling for the reduction in regulations. How far do you think you are in that process?
Thank you for the question. I'm proud to say that we as a board have made significant changes. We have met the criteria as a whole in the timeline that we require for the percentages that's required, but we have more that we're going to be able to do when we are able to, and when you laid this out, when we're able to get some new statutes passed, we're going to change a lot of the old statutes that'll go away. It's not prevalent to the time that we're in anymore. So we've done our job to this date. We according to the powers that be, but we do have more that we're ready to implement. As soon as we can make a few more changes, it'll open the door for a lot more, and there'll be great positive changes.
Follow up. Thank you through the chair to Mr. Kunder. So I think you misstated that you're working on statutes. I think the board's looking at regulations. But are you coming across statutes that need to be tuned up as well as you're going through this regulatory review process?
Absolutely. It was a good thing that this came through the board. It gave us all a chance to go back and get together and go through and learn where we have some things that are placed in multiple areas that can be changed, some things that are outdated, some things we just can't change because it becomes life safety to the guide, transporters, outfitters, the general public, and the animals. So we can't change that. How we can reword it to be better suited for the situation that we are working on. And then, like I said, we have some that are just totally outdated with time, and then we have those earmarked that when we're able to, we're going to get rid of those also. We just can't at this time due to the way the regs are structured.
Follow up, Representative Mears, and then I'll go to Representative Sadler.
Thank you through the chair. Mr. Kunder, if you're comfortable, could you share examples of some of the things that the regulations that are getting updated?
I don't have those in front of me, and I'm a simple country boy. I try to just tell you what I can remember, and I can honestly tell you right now, I wish I had my notes in front of me, what we just went through, but I don't have them, and I don't want to misspeak, so please don't hold that against me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Sadler?
Simple country boy, like the Senator Rayburn. Through the chair, Mr. Kunder, there's another issue that has been percolating in Alaska in this committee for a long time, and that's the question of guide service areas on state land, in which big game services guides will get an exclusive area. If you've been on the board for a while, I'm sure I suspect strongly you're aware of the issue. Have you any thoughts on that? Is that a good thing for Alaska or not a good thing for Alaska?
I will tell you, I do have thoughts on that. These are my personal thoughts. Thank you for the question. I do believe that it is a positive for guide concession areas. I would actually go out and say I wish we had transport concession areas. We would cut down on a lot of the things we have problems with by far. I would love to see it. You know, it's just one of those things. You can't flood this market with all this and expect it to go well. And the ones that have the property, protect the animals. If it's just a free-for-all, you don't know what you're going to get for tomorrow. Nobody has regard for anything. It's just self-preservation at that point. So, as I stated, this is Larry Kunder's personal opinion. But yes, I believe guide concession areas is a positive thing, and I also believe that the transporter should have the same thing. So.
Follow-up, Representative Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen. I appreciate you letting me ask. That's kind of a sensitive issue, but I recognize, again, for the record, that is your personal view, and that is not any official view of the Board of Game, Big Game Commercial Services, pardon me. But it's out there, so thank you for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you. Are there any further questions for Mr. Cunder? Seeing no further questions from the committee, we will now set this appointment aside. Thank you, Mr. Cunder. Finally, we have on the phone Robert Mumford of Anchorage. Mr. Mumford was appointed by Governor Dunleavy on August 25th, 2025, and his term on the board expires in March 2029. Mr. Mumford, please put yourself on record and begin your statement.
Well, good afternoon. This is Robert Mumford. I go by Bob, unless you're really mad at me. I'm a 50-year. Came up here 50 years ago about this time of year with the Air Force and did my 4 years with them and then took on a career with the Department of Public Safety, state trooper here. Switched over after about 2 years to the Fish and Wildlife Division and finished my career, a 20-year career with them. I get on this board, or I'm trying to become on this board, just because I have some experience with it. I've got a real strong belief in the ethical use of our wildlife resources, and I'm a lifelong hunter and sportsman. I'm a wildlife photographer and fisherman, all of that. I've got history with both the guiding and transporter industries. I had an assistant guide license for a short time, and I worked directly with a master guide on the Alaska Peninsula for a little while. And I also worked in the transporter industry for a little while at 40 Mile Air Service in Tok, flying hunters in and out, that type of thing. I've got board service. I was appointed to the Commercial Services Board by Governor Murkowski in 2006. I got reappointed, but on the reappointment, it wasn't like I was reappointed. I just stayed on the board because nobody else was trying to get on. Had it been a reappointment, I think it would have been right in between when Governor Palin was leaving and Governor Parnell was taking charge, and I kind of jumped right into or fell through that crack, I guess, and stayed on the board for 2 more years. And so I had 6 years of service there, but I left the board at midterm because I had a job with 40 Mile Air, and the attorney general said since I was on the public seat that I couldn't stay on the board and fly for a transporter, so I had to step off. In 2012, I was appointed by Governor Parnell to the Board of Game, served a full term there, and actually was appointed to the Board of Fisheries after a 3-year term on the game board. I served on both boards for about a month at the same time, and then I had to step off of that board because some of my personal life got in the way. And when I take a board appointment, it's highly important to me. I feel like it's a full-time job, and I just could not have done that. I had family members that were in the process of passing away, and I couldn't rightly stay on the board and do what I was doing while so much of my life was getting in the way. So anyway, I happy or anxious to get back on the board. I hope I bring enough history with me as a game warden, prior board member, and happy to be on it. I've worked briefly with both of two people you've just talked to and have been impressed by both of them, so I'm anxious to hopefully work with them a little bit more too. I'm 71 years old. I've got plenty of time to give to the board, and like I say, I take the responsibility of it very, very seriously and anxious to do it again. So I'm here for any questions you might have.
Thank you so much, Bob, or Mr. Mumford. My grandfather's name was Bob, and that's why
I got Robin. But it looks like Representative Mears and Representative Sadler have questions.
Thank you,
Mr. Mumford. Yeah, we tend to go straight to titles and last names around here, at least when we're in committee and on the floor. I just want to say I really appreciate that you know what you're getting into. I know that institutional knowledge is very valuable on boards and commissions, but so is the willingness to step up and step back, that you step back at a time and now you've you know what you're getting into and willing to step up again. So I just wanted to let you know I'm really pleased with what you had to share with us today. I appreciated a pretty comprehensive resume that you shared with us, as well as the experience. I don't have any specific questions, but I'm sure my colleague who's going next has some good ones. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, through the chair. Mr. Mumford, yeah, Bob's my middle name, so we're in the same team here. your name actually came across my desk a number of years ago. I was working boards commissions for Governor Parnell and Palin, so your name rings a bell, so I'm glad to see you put your name up. Haven't learned your lesson yet, have you, sir? But I do have two questions, the same questions I was asked of the previous candidates for reappointment. I'd like to know your position on the guide concession area issue and on the permanent fund residency for hunting and fishing license bill, if you know about them, please.
Certainly. On the guide concession program, I honestly believe that that's important that we have it. It certainly works in certain areas in the state under the federal mandates. You know, I'm thinking Kodiak, they broke up into basically concession areas too. And I think it worked well prior to that Osage check decision that happened that removed it all from us. Yeah. Because, you know, I think when we have a restricted guide concession area program, most of the time the guides that do real well are the ones that keep getting reappointed to those particular areas, and they have a strong desire then to manage game properly within that. And you know, I've known of guides that would, you know, quit hunting on a population even though it would have been legal to do so because that population was down. It can work the other way, you know, where some guy will move in and think, okay, I maybe only have this concession for 4 years and I'm going to kill everything I can within it while I've got it. But those guys don't tend to get that concession program granted to them. And right now, when I think of it, I think of sheep hunting an awful lot. And there's so much crowding on any state land area because we have a lot of guides that don't have really good exclusive areas. And they, boy, I mean, it can be hard to find a parking place on some of the backcountry strips when you're out in sheep hunting. So I favor it. I don't see how that actually was written, and I'd like to look at that a little closer because I think you got to make sure that it's done correctly, and I'm not up to see how that's all written right now. I think it's in front of the game board for looking at and maybe implementation. Okay. The other question, the one on the residency, I have mixed emotions on it, but I can understand it. I mean, I know a lot of people can go out of state for quite a little while, and they're residents of Alaska, even though they don't get the permanent fund because they're gone quite a little bit. I don't have a strong opinion on that one way or the other. I have opinions on some of the other residency things. I'll give you just my own little verse. I'm not real big on the second degree of kindred, but that's a statute, not a regulation that we can deal with anyway. But overall, I guess I don't have a strong opinion on the residency.
Okay.
I guess that's a regulation coming up for our review or your review.
That statute, actually, but okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mumford. Representative Sadler has a One more question, I believe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your indulgence here. Mr. Mumford, just one more. With your longer-term perspective of service on fisheries and game management boards, help us understand kind of the long-term trends in the big game guiding industry as you see them. Anything we should be looking out for, anything developing we don't know about that's coming down the pike, or any past practice that's becoming extinguished. Just give us your gray-beard perspective on the biz.
Thank you. I guess right now, the current perspective is, you know, we're mandated by statute to come up with some good test questions and testing, and I would like to make sure that those right now are, you set the bar pretty high to become a guide in Alaska. I believe at times we probably had more interest in some of that, and I know test questions are real hard to write and that type of thing, but I think it's important that when we allow a person to take hunters out into the field, it's a dangerous profession for both the guide and the hunters, but I want to make sure that these guys that become registered guides in this state or even assistant guides are highly qualified to do so. And so I think us raising the bar on the entry-level guiding is real important. I think that's something that we're working on and trying to see that happen right now. But I can't say, because I've been off of it now for, you know, a number of years, what's happened. You know, since I've been on, it's been mostly that AO360, and we've been reviewing that, but not so much the testing requirements. But I don't know. There's a lot of different issues that get involved in the guiding, transporting, and especially the fish and game issues. You know, politics get involved into it. I'm very much in Larry Cunder's camp in the sense that I believe strongly in our protecting our wildlife resources, and I'm a hunter and fisherman, but you know, we need to protect the public, but we need to protect our wildlife, and hopefully this board can work hand in hand with the Board of Game at times too. And I know we have a real good crossover member with Dave Loren working on the Board of Game. He comes over and works with us, so I think we're really good there. I'm probably rambling and not answering your question. So,
well, what I'm getting to is through the chair. Are there new entrants into the guiding, or are there new people getting assistant guide licenses? Is the pipeline of young people still entering this this line of work or line of activity?
Yeah, there seems to be quite a bit of interest in coming into Alaska and being guides. So, yeah, I still see a lot of folks coming into the industry, and that's good. We've got some really good people coming in, but I just want to see the bar set high for them.
Outstanding. Thank you, sir. Thanks, Madam
Chair. Thank you, Mr. Mumford. Are there any other Representative Colon?
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Mumford, I don't know if I missed it, but you're going for a public seat, right? I saw that you were a transporter. You have some different backgrounds. So is it a public seat that you're trying to get?
It is. Yeah, that was what the appointment was on.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Mr. Mumford? Thank you, Mr. Mumford. Thank you for your experience, your willingness to serve, your institutional knowledge, and Representative Sadler said you haven't... What was it that you said, Representative Sadler?
About his, I've seen his resume before.
Oh, no, you mentioned something about he didn't learn. Oh, sorry. And I think, you know, we're in the same boat. So.
Well, thank you guys for everything you do. I mean, you're stepping up high for Alaska, and I mean, I admire anybody that'll take on the job that you have.
Thank you, Mr. Mumford. Well, that... we will now set this appointment aside. We'll be taking up public testimony on the appointments at a later date. That completes the agenda for House Resources Committee meeting today. Our next House Resources meeting is Monday, February 23 at 1 p.m. when the committee will hear a presentation from the Alaska Mining Association and take up amendments and public testimony for House Bill 271 on kitchen lights unit royalty modification. The time now is 1:45 p.m. and this hearing of the House Resources Committee is now adjourned.